Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. As with the Lord's help, we will perhaps conclude this message on the importance of obedience. And it's as we've been looking at this episode in the life of Saul in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, there are some important things that we have to note. When accosted by the prophet Samuel, when he came to him while he was in Gilgal, he said, "I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord." Now, I don't know if he really thought that he did, but God's command was very clear. Destroy everything. Not only the people, the inhabitants, but also every living creature. But you see, God was giving Saul a second chance to see what he would do, and he chose basically to disobey. And he went in, you know, in verse 20, when Saul confronts him for not obeying the voice of the Lord, Saul answers again the second time, "Yea, I have obeyed." And then, of course, he finally realizes, he recalls, he knows, but he was allowing his own will, his own emotions, the pressures of the people to influence him. And beloved, we have to have a closed ear to everyone. And not that we don't heed godly counsel, but the importance is whatever God is speaking to us personally, we have a personal responsibility to choose. We will either obey or we will disobey. This is pretty clear. And it's, beloved, it's so tragic, it's pitiful, it's heartrending to have someone persuade themselves that they're right with God and doing His will when basically they turn back. Like Saul, he thought he had obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Every act of disobedience to God, think of it. I mean, this is about as simple as we could put it, and it's somewhat shocking. But every act of disobedience to God is an overt act of rebellion against God. Think about that. You know, it wasn't that big a thing just to eat off this, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. Yeah, it was. Look at the consequences of that act. All of their offspring, their children, which we are, distantly all related, we have suffered the consequences, the untold sorrow and misery of the human race because of sin. Thank God for Jesus that the Lord was willing to provide a solution through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for our liberty to be set free and to be born again in Christ. So let's keep that in mind. If we're not obeying God, we're rebelling against Him. At one point, you know, Saul was very clear, you know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as idolatry and iniquity. So, beloved, it's a serious thing when we're stubborn and we're disobedient. So basically, what happened, Samuel was so upset to hear the Lord's pronouncement, he spent the whole night crying unto the Lord. But Samuel had to stand faithful before God, and he had to speak what God told him to speak. And then we see in verse 21, let me turn over to that in chapter 15 and 20, when he's saying, he's arguing, he said, "Yes, I have obeyed the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites." That's not what God had asked. But the people, oh, he's transferring blame, just like, you know, Eve did to, you know, it was the serpent that made me do it. "And the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them to the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Oh, isn't that wonderful? They saved it for a godly purpose. They were going to sacrifice sacrifice it unto the Lord. No, that didn't fly with the Lord. You know, we have to understand that he finally admitted the truth. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That rang very hollow. He said, I have sinned. And there are many ministers who are not preaching the word of God because the word, it doesn't declare it, but they're basically afraid of the people. Just, you know, they don't want their giving, their resources to diminish. It's, you know, actually, years ago I heard of a major church organization who reportedly hired a job consultant to find places of employment for their ministers who had no churches to pastor. I wonder if they ever heard about fasting and praying before God and getting his word shut up in their hearts and then going into the highways and byways to preach the gospel, to just go ahead and be obedient to God and see where he took that. Well, Isaiah 51 and 12 tells us, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? We need to fear one and only, and that is the Lord God Almighty. Anyone can be a coward. Anyone can find an excuse. Anyone can say, you know, oh, I was just afraid of the people or what they would think or what they'd do. But it takes a man and it takes a woman. It takes a person who is willing to put on the whole armor of God that we would be able to stand in the evil day, as Ephesians 6 and 13 says. In verse 26, we see Saul was told, you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee. Let me read. I'm going to read 22 and 23. They're important. I haven't read it. Samuel hath said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Those are very harsh words, that he lost that opportunity, and he didn't lose his kingship right away, but ultimately he and his sons, Jonathan, they were destroyed in battle. Many years he was pursuing David, but the word of the Lord was going to be fulfilled. Samuel was called to anoint David, and God fulfilled his word, not immediately, but in his time, because of course David was learning lessons. When he delays, there's always a reason for it. He has purposes that we may not understand. So God spoke to Samuel in verse 11. He said, it repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed his commandments. And at that point, Saul, in verse 25, he said, pardon my sin, turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And then as Samuel turned to go, he laid a hold of his garment, and it tore. And Samuel said in verse 28, he said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day. You see, it wasn't with that first offense, but he said, this day the Lord's rent the kingdom, taken it from you, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine, which of course was to be David, that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel, that is the Lord, that is capital S in the King James, will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And so then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now before the elders. Turn again that I may worship the Lord thy God. And Samuel did turn again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then the conclusion of the passage is that basically Samuel did what Saul should have done. Samuel said, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as the sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. So here you see that God's word was going to be fulfilled. It had to take the prophet Samuel to accomplish it, but he did. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so what can we say in summary, beloved? Saul may have retained the favor of the people in chapter 16, if you care to go on to read that, but the Spirit of God had departed from him. And beloved, it's possible to be a Christian and yet through disobedience to the Word of God, to the heavenly vision. Remember, Paul said that later on in the book of Acts. He said, I was not, when he was in chains, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. If we're put in a position of trust and a place of service that God has put us in, and if we choose to disobey, to walk our own way, we become basically a wasted wilderness, basically a hindrance to God's work, what he wanted to do in and through us, and a stumbling block to others. But most tragic and the saddest of all is we've become an offense before God. Remember, those are hard words. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. And Father, in the closing moments, we pray that, Lord, you would remove, Lord, we may have not even recognized it, but we hear your word with a clarity today, and we ask, please purge from us any rebellion, any stubbornness, any wickedness in your eyes, that we might wholeheartedly, with all that we are, be willingly, gladly serve you in ways that you would direct. Father, give us wisdom that we will know your voice and your leading. We ask all of this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Well, beloved, I thank you for joining me this week, and I thank God that as we learn these important lessons, hopefully they can be learned early in our spiritual walk. But sometimes we think, you know, as we grow in the Lord, we think we, you know, have come a long way. And let us never get proud and haughty. We need to remain humble as little children and thereby be willing to do whatever he asks, because he will provide whatever is needed. I love you. I pray for you every day. I invite you to write if you have prayer needs, and the announcer will share our contact information, our mailing address. If you email, I will always pray and confirm receipt of your request. But if you'd like a personal answer, I invite you to share your mailing address so I may respond personally back to you. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.